All right, God is great, greatly to be praised. Let's turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Yahoo! Is everybody awake? Everybody awake? All right, almost. All right. I'm going to start at the very first. Now, these be the last words of King David. So, when a man is a ruler over other men, and then he's about to expire, he knows his hour has come. He's not going to say something frivolous. He's going to say something worthy of note. So, King David, after a long reign, he reigned for 40 years, and he wasn't a perfect man. King David really messed up big time in his family. Some of you had mess-ups in your family. So that's not a good thing. And we always blame the dad. We always blame the husband. We never blame the wife. Because Jesus took all the responsibility for his bride and for her debts and sins and flaws and whatever else. So because of that, all the responsibility lies on you, Tim. None on Susan. Will. None on Kath. No. So when you're a husband, that's why there's fewer husbands here. Okay, Sam, I have to point you out because you're a husband, so all the responsibility's on you. So if something goes wrong with the wife, it's the husband. Hugo. Yeah, your responsibility. Might be her fault. Your responsibility. So fault-finding is worthless. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. It matters whom has God appointed to be responsible. So if something goes wrong with you as a member of the church, it's Pastor Jim's responsibility. Might be your fault, but it's my responsibility. Harrison, it's your responsibility. Make sure that your wife is happy all the time. That's some job. That's some responsibility. Most men aren't too good at it. Well, King David was really a zero. King David did not do well with his daughters or his sons or his wives or anything. He was a mess up. He was a great ruler. One thing he had going for him was he feared God. He loved God. He trusted God. So his ability to rule over men was not based upon his behavior. Not based on his behavior toward his family. And yet, if you can't rule your family in the church, you shouldn't be a pastor. So there's a higher standard than there is for a political ruler. So God has not put the high standard. I want you to understand this. He has not put the high standard on the ruler. Nevertheless, he has a high standard. But judgment begins in the household of God. So the higher standard's on me as a pastor than Obama as a president. The biggest weight is not upon a businessman who rules economically, or even a general who rules militarily, or certainly even a president or a king or a ruler who rules politically. The biggest problem for God is his church, which was meant to be a light to those others, and salt to those others. So if you fail in that, to be a light and salt, if you're not mature, it may be your fault, but it's my responsibility to make sure you don't fall short. Because the whole world is looking for light. And if it isn't coming from the church, it will never come from those other three realms. It won't come from economic leaders. Please don't trust in businessmen. It won't come from political leaders, and it won't come from any other kind of leader in this world. So the pastors have the most weight and therefore the most responsibility, and they'll be beaten more severely at the end. And some of you are, you're going to get me a beating. So help me out there. Help me out a little bit. Be more mature. And since I have so few men, I'm just preaching to the choir. All right, these are the last words of David. And David was the son of Jesse, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is what he said. This is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord spake to me. Remember, he's dying. These are the last words. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So he's about to say something powerful. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men, what? Must be just. Ruling, now he's going to define justice, political justice. Ruling in the fear of God. Moshel means he who rules. Okay, so this is King David, he who rules, Moshel, Ba'adam, over men, over all mankind, or over a portion of mankind. He who rules over men, Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik. He who rules over men must be Tzadik, just, right, true, faithful. He can't be a little bit off. He can't be perverted. He can't be corrupted. He can't be bribed. Well, most of our political rulers are perverted, corrupted, and bribed. They obey their biggest donors. They do not obey the people, Ba'adam. He who ruleth over men, Moshel Ba'adam, Tzadik, must be just. He must be. Now, every king is going to be ruled by that. And the king himself is ruled by the king above him. And then he defines it. Colon. So, Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik. Moshel Yireh Elohim. He who rules over men must be just and must rule in the fear of God. Ruling in the fear of God. So, that defines what justice is. Now, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court calls justice. This is what God calls justice. Ruling in the fear of God. Today, the Supreme Court is not so much talking about God. They've kind of ignored him, forgotten him. We've gone the way of Europe. We've gone the way of infidelism. We've gone the way of the unbeliever. We've gone the way of saying there is a God, but he's so far away, we don't like to call upon him. We don't have days of fasting and thanksgiving anymore. We don't have days of prayer to God, the God, you know, who made the nation and so on and so forth. We now take credit as though we made it ourselves, or economic people made it, or, you know, some kind of human experiment was going on. So here's what King David says. He who rules, Moshel Ba'adam, Tzadik, must be just, ruling Moshel in the fear of God, Yireh Elohim. So that is the definition, and no one can ever improve upon it. And no one can ever gainsay it. That is, no one can ever argue with it. You cannot argue with it. Now, I'm running for office this week to represent Fort Worth, basically, downstate. And so that's the kind of speech I give. I tell them, you know, it has nothing to do with all the kind of issues or how bad Obama is or anything else. It has to do with the quality of the people you elect, whether they fear God, whether they're under the Constitution, whether they do whatever their trust tells them to do. So now we know the nature to perform this trust, that the nature is the people will praise God and thank God if the ruler, the representative, is a servant of God before he's a ruler of men. If the husband is a servant of God before he's a ruler over his wife and family, then there will be joy. Blessed is that kingdom whose God is the Lord, not some president, not some human ruler that's been, gotten a 51% mandate. I don't know what kind of a mandate that is when you win by 1%. You know, it's not a mandate. They might even call it, if they had 5%, an overwhelming mandate. But you have half of the people basically not for you. So I didn't see how it's a mandate. In other words, the failure of rulers today is they don't unite the nation. They don't unite the city. They don't unite the state. They leave it divided. Why? Because they don't rule in the fear of God. They're not really caring for the people. No wonder the people don't vote. By the way, if they got a 51%, that's only 51% of the people that came out, which is probably less than 50, or maybe it's 70, I mean, in a really big election. In some lower elections, but in the presidential, it's usually higher. But at any rate, it's still just a portion of a portion of a portion. So obviously, the rulers are not that impressive these days. And if pastors ruled, if I was a Baptist, you'd have to be confirmed every year. You know, I probably might not get confirmed. So they also try to rule in the fear of God. Moshel Be'adim Tzadik. He who rules over men, Ba'adam, must rule tzaddik, righteously. If you're a husband, you must rule righteously over your wife. You must rule justly. You must be good. You must bear the burden, give her the blessing. Not in your own mind, but in hers. What do you mean? I did justly. You needed the whip. You know, you needed the hit in the head. You know, whatever. No. It isn't the way the man sees it. It's the way the woman responds to what the man just did. So the consent of the governed is always critical. Peg, how do you like the way I'm loving you? No. See, there's no consent there. What did I do wrong? Will, are you like that? Kind of a bad ruler. Amen. Well, to the extent you're a bad ruler, don't try to please your wife. You better get under God. See, the problem is, Yireh Elohim. Moshel Yireh Elohim. You must rule in the fear of God. Now that word Yireh, Yireh, Yareh, that word could be a noun, or can be a participle, or can be an adjective, can be a verb. That word Yareh, the fear, has different meanings to it. One meaning is terror. You know, you're scared. Another meaning is reverent. Let every wife reverence her husband. How many wives are here? That's your job. Your husband is to love you as Christ loved the church. You're to reverence your husband. Now, you're not to reverence him because of what he did. You reverence him because God put him in that office. And by the way, you picked him. You married him. Fool that you are. You married that guy. And even though you had second thoughts later, it's too late. Once you're locked in, stay there. Grow up. You know, face the fact that you're a poor picker. You know, and maybe it isn't that the guy gave me a line. Maybe it's that you didn't ask Jesus. Maybe you just married quickly because you had, you know, he was nice looking, or he was rich, or he, lied nicely, or something, whatever. It's your fault. So the fault lieth with you, the woman, the picker. Isn't that funny? Now, here's another idea. It works a lot better if you're dead. I mean, if you don't have a persona, if you don't have any personality. It works a lot better if you will be what God wants you to be in that marriage. It works a lot better if you're marrying under God's will. Now, of course, if you marry outside His will, you have to live with that and go to the husband then and say, you know what? It isn't that you were a bad husband, which you are. It's that I was bad to pick you and ruin your life. I should not have picked you and ruined your life. So it's my fault, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, you're a bad husband, but I picked a bad husband. And so I'm sorry I ruined your life. Did you see how I put all the responsibility on the one that apologized. Did you see that? And then the man should say, and he might if you would approach him that way, "No, it's not your fault. I lied to you. I didn't know what I was doing, and I never feared God. I just did my own thing." Y'all see that? "So I ruined your life, and I'm sorry about that, that I conned you into this. Next time, I shouldn't get married at all." Well, there won't be any next time if you do it God's way. You're stuck. Isn't that funny? Y'all don't like that. I like that. I like that God doesn't let man just do what he wants or woman do what they want. But you know what? People do it all the time. They just blow God off. They say, "Hey, you know, who cares what God says? I'll just do it the way I want." Okay, cool. So because of that, many rulers are just like the people. The ruler is like unto the people because they fear the people instead of God. So fear has two different meanings. One is that you fear the people. You're always trying to please people. You're always trying to do what's right. No, you never do what's right, what the people say is right. They don't know what's right. We don't even know what's good for us. No, you fear God, then you won't fear people. Okay. Now, King David said this in his last moments because he was summing up his whole life. And he said, "If I'm under God and I trust Him and I fear Him, then I'll perform my task and do justice toward the people that I'm ruling over in my trust." So, all civil government is a public trust. It's a public trust. And no one would argue with that. But no one would say it either, because they don't want to say it. So they just say, "Well, you know, once you elect me, you just need to trust me." Oh, my gosh. Trust you, who've been bribed by some big donor, who then wants to pull your strings every once in a while, make sure that you open the borders. If I'm hiring, you know, illegal aliens, I want to get a representative that'll vote for that in the legislature. So they pay big bucks for that. I'm not just making it up either. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And so another guy will want something else. So he'll pay $1 million over here and $1 million over here. Democrat, Republican, whoever wins, it costs him $1 million, but he'll probably make 10 or 15 million back on it. Do you see? So that's called straddling. He knew how to straddle the deal. He worked both sides. He was on the short side, and he was on the put side. You know, he knew what to do, and that's the way they do it. So they just vote for each candidate, and then whichever one wins, they go with that one and expect a big return for it. So they control. So you don't fear God if you do that. I don't do what the people say. I don't do what the people say. I do what God says. So the people, by the way, the people that made our state and the people who made our federal government, national government, you know what they said? They said, "God's above us. We're going to adopt common law, the basis of which is natural law and revealed law." So they adapted it and then adopted it. Wasn't exactly with a king in it because they didn't like the idea of king, so they kicked that part out. But other than that, they accepted the British common law system here in Texas, too. And so common law is still with us. Now, I won't go into the whole law structure of how it's changed since then. But legislators today ignore both the common law as well as constitutional law, as well as revealed law. They don't revere and respect and fear anything other than their own little bitty subordinate laws. And so when they use their sword to do justice, they don't do justice. They just do whatever their donor said or someone else. So they neither fear God nor the people. They don't fear anybody. Now, what God tells me to do is make sure you bless all the people. So I am to bless them, so I have to do what's good for them, even if they don't exactly agree with it. And what I have to do then is convince them what is good for them, because I'm going to vote for it, and so I have to be clean and honest about that. And if not, get out. Y'all see that? So I've already served a whole bunch of years downstate, and I think I'm going to serve another 2 years. Of course, they can always get you at the last minute. But right now, I'm looking pretty good, so I appreciate your prayers that at the last minute, someone won't come in and tell some lie that you can't respond to. That's how they do it. They just say any old thing. And then at the last minute, you have no way to respond, so they go, well, he must be guilty because he didn't say anything. Of course, they do it at the very last. They're very clever. And it's a very slick brochure. They pay a lot of money for that. To defeat the person, that would probably be a pretty good representative. Don't you love it? Moshe Ba'adam Tzadik, colon, Moshe, what? Yireh Elohim. He who rules must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. Now, husband, businessman, politician, pastor, whoever rules over men, Ba'adam, whoever rules over men. So, Moshe Ba'adam, whoever rules, he that rules over men must rule justly, ruling in the fear, Yiret Elohim. Now, King David actually did that. And so he's a good one to speak about that. And I've done that. I'm that kind of ruler, whether it be in the family, or whether it be in politics, or whether it be in the church, or whatever. And I separate all those. Those are all separated. I don't blur them together. You don't mingle funds. You don't mix up different hats. So when you're a husband, that's different than being a businessman, or that's different than being a pastor, or that's different than being a politician. So all the ruling jobs we have in this world have to do with God. He's the ruler, and he assigns different ruler hats to us. How many know if you're a mom, you're a ruler? So moms are rulers too. They rule over their household. They rule over their children, and they probably rule over their husbands. At least they like to, but most men are, they're just not easy to rule over. But most men are even when they say, yes, dear, they just say that. Could I have another beer? They just say that. But that doesn't mean they're actually accepting anything you say. Men have a way of lying. That's very tricky about that. Yeah, Peg, okay. See, that just puts her off. Okay, I heard you. But I didn't hear a word she said. Y'all aren't laughing. So men are tricky that way. I mean, I didn't have to learn that in a book. I'm just kind of automatically like that. Yeah. Because she'll be bothering me and I'm trying to read a book. Peg, I'm reading, can't you see? She'll put her hand right on the book. And then she'll grab the other hand, put it right under my chin, and make me look right up at her. Pay attention to me. Isn't that awful? It takes away all my dignity and my concentration. She doesn't want me just to blow her off with a, yeah, okay, fine. Because she knows later I'll say, I never said that. You did. What? I did? I don't remember that. Does anybody else have a wife or a husband like that? I'm the only one. Peg and I are the only ones. Oh, I think it's great. You just don't want to say it, but it's okay. Now, ruling, by the way, you've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But anyway, ruling is not an easy job, because to be a ruler over men, over women, over children, over whatever, the economy, anything, you must first of all fear God. Yiret Elohim. So, to be a ruler, you have to be one who fears God. Otherwise, you won't do justice. You'll do injustice, unlove. And so, the whole Bible is built on this. So, I want to give you some scriptures so you can see how powerful this word fear is. Fear is what we don't have. Did you know that the worst thing that can happen to a nation is when it ceases to fear God? It ceases to fear God. Even worse when it's in the church. Even the churches today do not fear God. They don't care what he said. They just interpret it the way they want to, or the denomination does, or the people who are the wealthy do. I remember once this kind of wealthy guy in the church said, "You're going to do such and such." I said, "No, I'm not going to do it." "You will do it." You know, and he was just wealthy, so he thought he could just, you know, force me to do it, or, you know, either have me removed or he would remove. You know, we'll say, "I'm not going anywhere." So, but he was the head of the, you know, men's group or whatever, you know. He was the head guy, so he had money. And people usually worship people with money. Are you all aware of that? It doesn't make them any better, but just because they have money, people think, well, they must be more valuable or something. That's how foolish we are. But God has a lot of money, too. He's a bigger donor than all the other donors. And if he wanted to, he could withdraw from all those powerful people. Anyway, I didn't do it. And, the guy was ticked. He was mad. And, you get a lot of that in the ministry where people try to control you and dominate you. I don't care. I had a man here in Dallas sitting in one of these big hotels downtown said, "You know, I'm going to give you a church of 600-700 people." I don't want it. Why? Because you'd want to control me. Because you gave it to me, so there's a little string attached. "Then I'll destroy you," he said. "Go ahead," I said. Now today, that is one of my best disciples. But he meant it. He was going to destroy. I mean, he gave some examples of so-and-so. He was something, and I just, you know, pulled the rug from him, and I destroyed him. I said, "Well, do it. Do it if you have all that power. But I'll prophesy to you right now with a smile on my face. You'll be destroyed before I will. Because God happens to like me. And he doesn't like me to take bribes." And his girlfriend was sitting right there, you know, told her. You know, you can do it if you can do it. But you have to get by God to do it. Yeah. Now, the other guy may or may not have believed in God, but I do. So, not only does it not frighten me, not only does your word not do anything, it'll go back on you. So you better pray right now. So, now, do you think how funny that is? I got that out of the Bible. I got that out of the Bible. So, people are bribers. And one of the things you're not supposed to do, Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. Exodus 18, 20. One of the things you're not supposed to do is what Moses said. "God, I'm wearing myself out trying to rule." So, you're doing it wrong. Your father-in-law told you that. "Well, how do I do it?" Choose out among you able men. And the first thing he said was, "Such as fear God are worthy of a trust and will not take a bribe." Well, that's exactly what politicians do. So God wasn't just giving the definition of how you rule justly. He was actually defining that all men don't do it this way. That's why I'm telling it to you. If everybody did it that way, he wouldn't have to tell anybody anything. Everybody would know how to rule. But apparently rulers don't know how to rule. So that's a good reason to get involved in politics. That's what I've done for the last 20-some years. Just get right in the middle of it. So I could call the governor up. I could call the lieutenant governor. I could call the attorney general and so on and so forth because I know them. I helped them to get elected years ago. And so I know them. And I know all the local people in Dallas as well as in Fort Worth and so on and so forth. So when you do that, you find out who the wealthy people are that have them as puppets. And you find out how the whole state is run. So there's only a handful of people that actually run this whole state. Just, you know, maybe two dozen people. And they fund everything. So you might be a little precinct something, they probably won't fund you. But if you're going to be the governor, they do. If you're going to be the attorney general and you want to get some big donor to help you out, that they want something for that. This for that. Quid pro quo. This for that. I'll give you this if you give me that. That's normal. That's natural. But in the church, that should not be. In politics, it shouldn't be either. But here's an interesting thing. If a man can't rule his own tongue, how can he rule himself? And if a man can't rule himself, how can he rule his family? And if a man can't rule his family, how can he rule in the church? And if a man isn't a shepherd, how can he be a king? Now, you probably didn't follow that little scenario, but that's very interesting. That when you learn to fear God, you start out as an individual long before you're some kind of a king. You better learn to rule your tongue first. Keep your mouth shut. Don't talk so much. How many talk too much? No, don't raise your hand, but a lot of you are just big talkers. Yeah, you blab too much. Say too much. So learn to ask God what to say, when to say, and how to say it. Don't talk too much. It looks like you're God. After three or four sentences, it's probably not God anymore. Except for my sermons. They're okay. Now, in Exodus then, the 18th, he said, I want you to provide for yourself able men, such as fear God, are trustworthy, and will not take a bribe. So that's the way I teach our disciples or our deacons. Did you know that a king is a deacon? Do you know that a deacon, though he's a ruler, he's a servant? Deacon just means servant. So the deacon is not the elder or the pastor. It just means servant. So he calls Caesar one of his deacons. Romans the 13th chapter. So he calls him one of his deacons. I love that. Don't you love that? In other words, King David is one of his deacons. You're just a deacon, a servant. When you perform this trust, remember, I entrusted you with a job to do that is justice. Moshe, Ba'adam, Tzaddik. You must do justice. If you're going to rule over men, you must rule justly, right, correct, according to who? Remember, you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so you don't know what good and evil is, only God does. So justice means to do what God says. Don't say to Peggy what she deserves. Say to her what God would say to her. Peg, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it. It's all my responsibility. Let it go. You take the blessing, I'll take the burden. That's different than saying, hey, what are you doing? Did you see the difference? Did you all see the difference there? I could put her down. Peg, look at that. You're just undermining me. You're doing wrong. But I have to ask God. God, do I get to say that? And he said, well, you could say that, but I had to have to forgive you for that sin. But here would be a better thing is to say, Peg, don't worry about it. I can see you're concerned. I'll take care of it. You just take the blessing. I'll take all the burden. I'll take full responsibility for what you did, what you didn't do, whatever. It's all my responsibility. Same in the church. A leader, a ruler, like Jesus, took all the responsibility, all the sin, everything that was wrong, every debt you owed, and he put it on himself and paid for it. Then he let you go free. That's a good deal. Do y'all see that? That would be great, and you would praise God if you had justice done to you by God through this servant. But what if he's a rebel, like Nimrod? What if he's a rebel, a wild leopard? What if he just goes his own way? What if the president doesn't do what God says? What if the governor doesn't do what God says? What if the mayor doesn't do what the people want or what God says? Now, what the people want is very clear. It's in the Constitution. They don't get to say what they want. It's already done by the people when they first made the documents who said, do that which is common good. Now, common good is not majority. It's not a vote. Common good is what every man wants by nature for himself that would be good for him that God wants to give him. So it's not even defined by me. I might want the railroad to go through my property, but that's selfish. That's for my own private gain. But government should never make such laws. All the laws they make are like that. They're called special interests. None of the laws today are for the common good. All the laws they make, even though they have the appearance of being for the common good, because they try to look like it's common good. The superhighway through Texas is going to be for everybody's benefit. Well, you know, forget the people that lost their land and the deal and eminent domain and all the corrupt politicians that take off of it and so on. Forget all that. That's for your good. Eventually, you'll like that drugs come straight from China through Mexico into, you know, Kansas. You'll like that later. It'll help you get a job. You might even become, you know, a drug watcher person or something. No. You see, all those laws are not set up by you because you didn't pay for the guy that represented you. You didn't even care enough to vote. You didn't even care enough to participate. You didn't even care enough because you didn't take it as a command of God to govern yourself and to take care of it. Now, this is the only country in the world that's built on self-government. If you don't govern yourself, you can't govern. You want someone else to decide? Then you'll be, well, look at Europe today. The Europeans are completely lost, and they'll never get out of it. Either they submit to Islam, submit to it, or they fight. Either way, they're going to get in trouble because all of their economies are tied up with those Islamic, Muslim, Arab finances. Everyone, the trillions and trillions of dollars that the Europeans have in France or in Holland or wherever else, it's all tied up with the sheikhs and whatnot and so on and so forth. So you know what? You're not going to win. And they open the door, and now all of their socialism, communism background, anti-God, has got them into trouble now with an anti-European group. They don't want the European way either. But the Europeans foolishly let them all in, just like California. Dumb policies by dumb people. So they can't get out. You know, they're not going to drill and collect all the money offshore because, look, they could get in trouble there as a risk. So since they won't, they go bankrupt. That's better. How many can see the brilliance of that? Because we didn't want to, you know, hurt some part of the environment or something. How many know that God hasn't taken provision for that and that men are so evil that you have to force them not to even go out of their houses, drive little bicycles? All of Dallas is like this. I don't know if you know it. Everything that's being built right now is so that you don't live in a home anymore. And you don't drive a car anymore. You'll have a bicycle. You'll have little bicycle trails. You'll all live downtown in some kind of a little apartment thing. Do you all know that? Do you know that your city council completely operates by a sustainable development, which was part of Agenda 21 from the United Nations? Are you aware of that? And every town, village, state in this nation is already under that. It has nothing to do with you what you do. I don't care who you elect. No one can stop it. Why? Because you're ignorant. My people perish for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed because they don't know what's going on. They have no vision. Now, he who rules, Moshe Adam, Tzaddik, must rule justly. If you're going to rule over men, you have to be just. Now, since that applies to everybody, even self-government, if you're going to rule over yourself, you should do it justly. And only God knows what just is. So you're under obligation. You're going to have to answer to God for your heart and your soul and your body and your life and then your family and then your church and then your nation and everything. You have to answer for everything. Isn't that exciting? But thanks be unto God, I'm going to help you. See, isn't that exciting? Aren't you glad you have a good guy like me? Well, I'm not a good guy, but I do fear God. I'm like King David, who right after he got done saying this, he said, of course, my house is not so. Of course, my house is not so. I messed up my family. Amen? And some of you have messed up your families. I would love to have some, you know, little testimonies now. You came from a messed up family and then you added to it. You compounded the interest. Okay? No problem. You just messed up all on your own. It's good. But don't worry. What I'm telling you is God will undertake for you, and he has sent me to take the burden off of you, to teach you a better way. This is how. This was the way it was supposed to be. Now, let's say you didn't do it. Okay, well, just say you're sorry. Start out with a little humility. That would help your cause. You just go before the judge and say, okay, I'm guilty. Now what? But the judge I'd go before is not the secular judge. The judge I'd go before is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Because he rules justly. Did you know that Jesus is what he's talking about? David was talking about Jesus. Jesus came on the earth, and he feared God, and he trusted God, and therefore he ruled justly And men killed him, especially men that were rulers. The religious and political and economic rulers were threatened by Jesus because he was going to change this world so that there'd be justice, truth, goodness. I still believe that Texas isn't over. I still believe that America's not lost. I actually believe Europe is going to go down the drain. But we've saved them before. I don't know if you have a memory of that. Memorial Day is supposed to remember, you know, the first of all, you're supposed to remember the revolution. What it costs to have a land of liberty. Big risks involved. No other nation wanted to do that. But we were a self-governing people who feared God. And that's why de Tocqueville said, a nation that fears God is going to be great because they're good. Not meaning they're good, because nobody in America said we were good. We just said God's good. God hath given us this. That's why we had days of fasting and prayer. That's why we had sermons on election days. That's why we did everything to fear God. And so our founding fathers, George Washington, Madison, and so on, they all then wanted to give thanks to God. And they took time out. They wrote, you know, proclamations and so on. We don't do that anymore. That died out in the 20th century. By the end of the 20th century, a few years ago, it was completely gone. So now even though they say God at the end of the deal, you don't know what kind of God it is. And it's not a very sincere kind of thing. And they might personally even believe in it, but politically it's irrelevant. Because it doesn't affect the economy or the society or the political structures. That's why I'm involved. I want to be involved because I want to affect everything. I think, I don't need to do it. I just do it because I want to. And I like to monkey with all of the monkey business. I like to unmonkey what they monkey with. You all see that? I don't know I'm accomplishing anything, but I'm sure making it more difficult for them to get forward. Because if you tell the truth, you'll be hated. If you tell the truth, you'll be hated, persecuted. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. And that includes if you're in business. That includes, has anybody been in business and gotten taken a few times? It's normal. It's normal. It's natural. But I still believe that good business can be done. You just can't do it the way the world does it. I still believe that churches can truly be submitted to God and fear God. I still believe that God is on the throne. I still believe Moshel Adam Tzadik, Moshel Yireh Elohim. I still believe that he who rules must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. Now, because I believe that, it's in my bones, it's in my mind, and I love it. I enjoy it. And I enjoy being hated, misunderstood, abused, yelled at, and so on and so forth. But because I still believe God hasn't said Antichrist time, there's still time to do things like that. So I don't believe Texas is shot. As a matter of fact, I believe this state, unlike any other state, in fact, any other place in the world, this state is powerful still. No matter what happened everywhere else with real estate and with business and so on, this state will soon recover because the fundamentals are still there. Oh, there's some fools that got caught. That's because they margined themselves. It's because they were playing world games. But if you, in fact, took care of your business as you ought, justly, you didn't then trust a lot of other people. And the people that you do trust, you have to make sure they fear God. Do you know that a lot of times you get in trouble because you trusted people that don't fear God? I have a knack for that. If somebody says they're a Christian, why, I'll just assume they are. But after you get in business with them, you realize they only are to get the loan. They only are to get, you know, whatever it is they want. And then suddenly they fall off the face of the earth and you can't find their phone number and address anymore. Where are they? And, you know, I trusted in that person. And God says to me, you shouldn't have. You did. You sinned. Don't blame them. Blame yourself. Okay. I agree. And I should have listened to Peggy. Even though it's a sin to listen to your wife, I should have listened to Jesus after listening to Peggy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, well, Jim, did God tell you to do that? Yeah. You see how quick I can make a decision. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You prayed about it. Yeah. And you think we should do this. Yeah. It's only 20,000. Don't think we should. And then when you lose it, you go, Jim, do you still think that was God? Probably not. Well, I thought you said it was. I did. I thought you said you heard God. I did. Well, what do you think now? I didn't. It wasn't. Forgive me. Sorry. Well, now what? Now what? What do you do after you've messed up? Has anybody messed up ever? Then you have to go to God, who you fear, but also trust. That he's a good God and will say, it's all right, get up, I will forgive you, I will cover your debt, and then we'll start again. How many know that you don't quit just because you lose? That's how you learn. You learn the hard way. Nobody's ever learned the easy way. How many have failed once at least? At least. Okay. It's probably a pattern, but at least once. So you learn to go to God and worship him and fear him and reverence him and don't ignore him, because maybe you were too much of a God yourself. Maybe you weren't a servant, but you were a Lord. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? It's very real. It's very practical. I mean, you may not want to apply this to your life, but you should. But I'm going to. Because I believe that God, all the way through the Scripture, has taught, Jim, you're not God, I am. I believe that's the basic thing. I don't lie, you do. I believe that's pretty basic. And after all these years, I'm learning to die to myself, to put off my old, put on my new. I'm learning how to talk better. I'm learning how to talk scripturally rather than psychologically. You know, what people teach you. Everything people teach you is a lie. Everything. So, you better check it all out. Take every thought captive to the Word of God and see whether it agrees with the Word of God. And people today in America don't need God anymore. Well, until you have a Katrina, until you have, you know, a Gulf oil spill and all this stuff. You begin to think, well, maybe. Maybe we can't solve all these problems. Maybe the people that we elect and trust, maybe they're not trustworthy. Maybe it's our own fault for not doing, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you everything else. Maybe we don't have everything else because we never sought first the kingdom of God. Maybe. That's possible. Does anybody ever think of that? But if you will seek first the kingdom of God and just your person, forget being a king over somebody, just your person, rule yourself first, then your family. King David goofed up on that one. Then in the house of God, and then take the throne. Now, when he was a young man, he was more pure as a shepherd, looking out for the sheep, killing bears and lions, whatever he had to do. And so he had good training to be a ruler, a leader. And he was a very good political ruler. But even so, if today you were a very good political ruler, and we've had a few, you still are going to be attacked by everybody. And it probably isn't going to survive you. David's son wasn't as sharp as David. And then his sons, it just fell apart after that. So it's hard to get rulers, it's hard to get pastors, it's hard to get businessmen that are clean, true, honest, just, who fear God, who work hard, who do what you're supposed to do, and then pass that on to the children. It's not easy. It's not easy. Most of the well-to-do families in Dallas and in Fort Worth experience that third generational drop-off. You know, first generation's a wildcatter, or, you know, he makes whatever sacrifice he has to make, whatever he has to do to get it. Then the next one goes to Harvard or Yale or something and has a miserable life and doesn't even talk to his kids. And the third group just drives, you know, red convertibles into trees and stuff. And you don't have much of a, it doesn't last too long. Now, I know there's a few families that have endured, but they're rare. It's hard to make it, and then it's hard to keep it. So if that's true economically and politically and socially, so it's also true spiritually. You have to just do it for yourself. God has no grandkids. Not any grandkids. Everybody has to start again. You know, I had to raise my kids differently than I was raised, and then they have to raise their kids, and they're finding out it's not as easy. They don't know the little secrets we had because they wanted to get out and, you know, be on their own. And I told them, you know, just stay till you're about 25 and then get married when you're more mature. Because you might marry some guy, you know, off the street kind of thing, and then you find out later wasn't what you had in mind. For example, our oldest daughter, Kara, she married young, and it's a perfect marriage. But she married young, and so here she has 7 kids now, and she still hasn't had a life. So even though she's a great mom, and it's a great family, and they're doing super, and they love the Lord, and all that stuff, that was good training. But I would have waited if I were her. You see, I would have waited a little longer so that you never can take trips and you can't, you know, do this and do that and so on. Because she's always had babies, you know. So after 7, of course, 7's the perfect number, it's time to quit. Don't keep going. Unless God tells you to. But now she's returning, now that her children are grown up. The youngest now is 3 or something, right? 3. So she's just about, you know, going to get them off to school. Another 3 or 4 years. Of course, Jesus will be back. But I'll tell you one of the reasons why she did that. This is funny. She heard me say, the Lord is coming soon. And she thought, you know what? I don't want him to come. And I'm going to get married right away and have kids right away. And so she did. So she ganged up all those kids. It's my fault. It is. It totally is. I've asked her to forgive me and asked her to come home and let's start where we ended before. I'd like to redo it. But she doesn't want to take that. So, you see, God is good. Do you all understand that? Uh-huh. The fear of God. I'm teaching about the fear of God. Here's another scripture. I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Remember that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Where does evil come from, man or God? Man. So, I will fear God, therefore I won't fear men or what they can do to me. What can man do to me if I fear God? If I put myself under God's covering through fear and trust, what can man do to me? Nothing. Do you know man can do nothing to me? Why are you worried about men? They can't do anything. It's all just submit to God. You can be happy wherever you are. You can bloom wherever you're planted. You can have a full and abundant life under the worst of circumstances. Now, I know a lot of you feel, I would be happy if. No, you're lied. That's not true. You're not going to be happy if. You don't need anything to change. You either are happy today because you submit and have the fear of God, or you're a rebel and you'll never be happy. It has nothing to do with your husband, your children, the neighbor, you know, circumstances, jobs, what kind of home you drive, car and all that stuff. It has nothing to do with that. Oh, I could make a mistake. But I get too excited. I miss the Holy Spirit that way. Now, God wants you to submit to Him. Just wherever you are, be happy. Why would you be miserable? Look at this guy right here. Now look, if your king is no good, your politician or your pastor or whoever, then just trust God's king, Jesus. That's good enough. If your father and mother forsake you, you still have the Lord. So that was one good thing I did. I taught my kids, even if I mess up, because I will, even if I mess up, because I have, even if I mess up, get the Lord. And so all 4 of my kids love the Lord. So it doesn't matter what I did. I mean, I did okay, and they probably give me more credit than I deserve. But the truth is, I wasn't all that great a dad. I wasn't all that great a husband. I wasn't all that great a pastor. But I did fear God. Now, that's something no one can take from me. I absolutely fear to say something or do something that is not given by Him. Well, what if I do? Well, I do all the time. I mean, Pam just caught me right there. But even if I do mess up, because I fear Him, I don't work it out or figure it out or feel guilty or anything. I just go straight to God. God, messed up again. Pam caught me. Try to humble her a little more so she could catch me on that. No. I don't really care that I'm perfect. I just care that He is. My goodness is not the issue, it's His. My whole trust is in the Lord. You notice I put trust number 1 and fear number 2. Because trust means, and the only reason I trust them is because I fear them, and the only reason I fear them is because I trust them. So they're together. But I trust them because I think if he says something, that's it. Now, I'm not arguing with him. Whether I do it or not, I believe that's true. And I've asked him, God, help me to not just believe it, but actually put me through all kinds of problems and troubles and whatnot until I learn it, so that I actually do it. I mean, he's going to come back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Is there any fear of God in the earth today? It's the first thing, if you read Genesis and Exodus and so on, you'll see that whenever the Israelites went somewhere, they asked, is the fear of God in this place? No. So, unless you fear God, there'll be no justice. You know why you have no justice? Because you have immorality in the people. You know why you have immorality in the people? Because you have idolatry in their hearts. If you would just turn to God, trust God, you would remove all that. Then we would be a moral nation again, and then we would be a just people again. So it's simple, and God's not going to change the equation. He's not going to change the formula. He's not going to change the rule, the commandment. Whoever rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. So let's go back to the fear of God. How many today want to have the fear of God in your life where you actually don't just talk or act or whatever? Wait on God. Go to God first. God, I was about to say this. Is that from you? Rather than just say, well, I'm determined, and I think God's for me. Whatever you think God's for you, that doesn't mean he is. You better spend a lot of time with him, because he might want to get at you, and you have to say words like this: God, I don't know anything, so I don't have a good, I don't know what good and bad is, so could you just please tell me? Mm-hmm. Not, God, here's two things, I think this one's the best. You don't need to help him out that way. I think this one's a good one right here. I would appreciate if you'd do this one. How dumb you are. You don't know anything. He probably won't pick that one. He probably won't. Just because you tell him, there's two ideas here. I could either stay in Dallas or I could move to Fort Worth. You don't know anything. He might want to go someplace totally different. He might want you to stay right where you are. I'm in a bad marriage right now. I'm thinking of getting out. You don't know anything. The pastor that I'm going to a church is a hypocrite. Oh, my gosh. Where are you going to go next? To another hypocrite? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So stop looking outside of you. That may all be true, what you just said. It doesn't mean it's God's will. You may be right. I'm sure you are right. But it's irrelevant. The point is, you need to fear God. So you need to go to him so that you do justice. Line up with God in everything you think and say and do and feel and want. Line up in every way with God. And that's why in this church we don't just teach believe, but we teach also submit. Be discipled. Get broken until there's nothing left of you except praise. That's it. The minute you come unto me, all the labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, from gentle, lowly of heart. The minute you rest in him, enter into his rest, you'll be praising God, be worshiping God. You can't teach people how to worship. They can't be taught how. What they can be taught is the fear of God. When they're taught the fear of God, fear and love God. I do. And of all the other things I could talk about, I'd be wrong. But on that one, I'm not wrong. When I read the word, I tremble. He said, tremble at my word. I do. And I don't fear man. Whatever man can do to me, I don't care. Here's the last one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. If you have the fear of the Lord, that's how you become wise, is be quiet until God speaks. Don't move until God says go. And don't just go because your gut says it. I feel like God is... Wait a minute. You feel like God? Wait a minute. You don't feel God. You have to know. I know God said. Praise him first. Confess first. You know, and you have to hear God where you know. Not, well, I feel like he's saying I need to get out of here. People say that all the time. I just feel like the place I'm in is not right. Oh my gosh. You're just going to go from the fire into the frying pan, into some other... You're going to run from a bear and run right into a snake. I mean, you're just running. I just feel like I'm not supposed to be here. That is not hearing God. God is not blurry like that. He will tell you where to go. He will say, Abraham, leave this place and go to this place. And he will lead you and guide you. You don't want to just start running around. Amen? So the fear of God means you check with God on everything, whether it's your emotions, whether it's your thoughts, whether it's your actions, no matter what it is. So, Moshe Ba'adam, Tzaddik, Moshe Yireh Elohim, he who rules over men must rule justly. That is, ruling in the fear of God.